Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. We're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday here in H-Town. A little wet outside, actually. I hope you're staying dry.
Starting to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I hope you're staying dry, taking care of yourself. So we were talking about kind of the iconic landmarks that, for you, defines Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And some more things came in. Well, one of those was a little bit of clarification on, you were asking about a particular church.
Yeah.
Apparently, Iglesia de
La Luz del Mundo, yeah,
is the one that people are talking about, which apparently has a wild story associated with it, and maybe even a documentary. That might be one that I add to the watch list.
We should go. No, we shouldn't.
Yeah. Not quite what you're looking for. A place where we might go. I don't know. We'll see. Someone mentioned, how has nobody mentioned the Colorado sign? And I was like, what are you talking about?
At first, I was like, I was with you. I was like, and then I went, oh, the Colorado.
Oh, yeah. The okay. Gentleman's Club. And I was
Colorado.
Like, I had to Google it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo.
Yeah.
Like,
Somebody said they have a good steak night or a steak. Dinner or something.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that.
You tell someone.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the Gentleman's Club, right? Like the Gentleman's Club, obviously there's vistas.
Food be fire, man.
But yeah. The food at a solid one, it'll do you good, right? A place that has wings, a place that mac and cheese. Sometimes they be doing it up big.
Hold on.
Yeah, there are people that absolutely go to the Gentleman's Club just.
And y'all read the articles in Playboy, right?
Sometimes.
So y'all talking about
Playboy,
the food.
Hey, Playboy will have some good writers this week, bro.
So we had a disagreement during the pandemic when Lou Williams went to...
But that's a cultural thing. Went to Magic City? No.
For the wings.
There are people that legitimately will go to Magic City just for the wings. 100%.
Lying, he did not understand
that. Is absolutely a cultural thing in Atlanta, especially when you think about it, right?
In your ass.
Think about it, where all these restaurants are closed.
Yeah.
Booty Club open till 2, 3, yeah. 4, yeah. However long late in the morning, yeah. and the kitchen's open. So's
Waffle House. So's Waffle House.
People be at Waffle House in Atlanta, too? Well, Waffle House don't have the same
lie in your ass.
Have you had Dream Wings?
This is a mini confession.
Here?
I have a, yeah. I don't know if it's a phobia or just like I can't. I've never eaten a buffet at one of those. Eaten at one of those. To me, it's like, yeah, I don't know about this. I just don't trust it.
You got to try Dream Wings, man. So Dream is a strip club here in Houston.
Yeah. Okay.
And they actually have a storefront.
Yeah.
That's sell their
food. For people like Lopez.
Yeah. Just go to the storefront.
Oh, trust me. I'm not a prude. It's been decades, but it's not that. It's not the
wings are good, though.
It's not being averse to going. Back in the day,
you think they got the ladies back there cooking?
Yeah. That's kind of in my head.
You just think it's booty
that's
all
an
in the
OSHA
kitchen.
Hazard,
and they're
sir.
All sweaty and the wings smell like strawberry perfume and all that stuff.
They got
a pot roast with glitter in it. You know,
Don't be too mad about the strawberry. I've had strawberry wings that were actually really good.
Yeah, but not strawberry perfume from a sweaty stripper.
I don't know what you're doing.
The strippers ain't back there in the kitchen.
That's real disrespect. That's disrespect to the...
They
to
just
the,
on the stage.
The real athletic work that is done by those fine women.
I admire it.
And sometimes men. I don't know.
I admire the commitment. But I don't think I've ever mentioned that. There's something about that because, like I said, I haven't been in decades. It's just not my thing. But I've been, and I've always like, yeah, I ain't eating. You guys eat what you want. I ain't eating.
Hey. Now, I've been where the food hasn't been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, there's definitely places that have...
Like a legit strip club with good food?
Nope.
Just watch that line. Look at that line.
Stable.
It's because they're justifying being there like you two.
Nah, it be ladies in that line trying to get some chicken, some lemon pepper wings.
Lying.
That's right, 713. There goes Lopez being bougie again.
No,
that's right.
No.
He's too good for the strip club buffet.
I said it's a phobia or something or whatever. I mean... Lord only knows how they batter those chicken wings, man.
I mean, how do you...
Hey, don't sleep, man. You watch too many TV shows and movies, man. You think about this sleazy strip club where the strippers back there cooking.
Yeah.
Nah, ain't that.
Yeah, there's a professional. They hire people in the kitchens. Also, like... the Gentleman's Club would not exist without the food, right? Like the habit, especially why all the Gentleman's Clubs are always near the airport because you know when them people fly in for work and they need a little bit of something to do, they go get something to eat and watch a little bit of the vistas at the Gentleman's Club.
Yeah, something
back in the day.
Yeah, that's why they go. Oh, there's a good restaurant.
I mean, you gotta eat too.
Y'all are so full of crap.
Absolutely
You're
not.
So full of crap.
100%.
Yeah. At least I admit why I went.
Oh no, there's instances where you absolutely people go and eat.
Hey, the girls in the strip club are the background at this point, man.
Get
people going
the
for the
hell
food.
Out of
hey,
here.
Man, we've had the internet for a very long time.
Serving bowls are clear like their heels. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't eat at the strip club. All right. Look at you knowing things. All right, we've spent a long time on this. All right, let's do a little NFL overreaction.
Yeah.
Or reality. Let's actually start with your homeboy, Nick Wright. He said something that I thought was very interesting about the NFL here, and I want to see if you believe it to be an overreaction or reality.
Here's a long-term prediction. I think before the end of this Deshaun Watson contract, the NFL is going to have a Stepien rule type of situation, which is just real quick. NBA had to change rules about draft picks you can trade 40 years ago because the owner of the Cavs, I think, you know, Ted Stepien, ruined the team, so they changed the rules. I think the NFL is going to make rules about how much you can kick the can down the road contractually, because when I said I'll take care of the money part of it, I don't think people understand what awful shape the Browns are in. Situation is this. Everyone knows it's $230 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. What I don't think people know is they have paid him $138 million of that, but they have only had $57 million of that show up on their cap. So they have borrowed $81 million from future Browns, and they owe him $92
million. So obviously inspired by the Deshaun Watson albatross of a contract, but...
Yeah.
Reality
news, yeah.
Overreaction or reality that the NFL within maybe the next year or two, right, then institute a rule that helps or that prohibits teams from doing this thing that we're seeing more and more money pushed off into the future.
I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I also think that we are on the brink of a quarterback salary cap. Because quarterbacks are getting paid so much money and people are so desperate to get quarterbacks, not only are they going to limit the kicking the can down the road, as he says, and I often say, I wonder if he stole that from me. But anyway.
Wow.
But not only that, limiting the salary cap, I think there's going to be a quarterback. I mean, how they're doing the money. I think there's going to be a quarterback salary cap. Like it can only be up to like, let's say 9%.
Of the salary
of the payroll, yeah.
That could be interesting. I don't think this is an overreaction. The reason why I point to this is, and there's nothing more, there's nothing that these leagues like more than protecting the owners from themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Salary cap exists to protect these owners from themselves where they over-leverage themselves and now have to pay too much money, right? The stepping rule that he mentioned, right, in the NBA was to protect owners from themselves. It's literally named after a former owner of, I believe, the Cavs, right, who named Stepien, last name was Stepien, and he just traded too much of their future away, and then they were just in the doldrums for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like these rules often come about to protect owners from themselves, and what we're finding is teams are finding themselves in places where they have two or three void years on the back year of a deal, and now there's a whole bunch of dead cap, where they're doing that, and then they're putting themselves in a bad place, and when it comes to the success of the team or being able to compete, which honestly, you should just be competent, right? Mm-hmm. We really should have some of these barriers off, and then competent teams are successful for their competence, and incompetent teams are not subsidized by the league. However, the leagues, everybody's working cahoots. It's a legal cartel, mm-hmm. and so everybody wants to make sure that even the bad ones are capable of doing this to keep a level of parity, because that's the entertainment product.
And then on top of that, the NFL are masters of sticking it to players. The NFL has the worst contracts for players in terms of guarantees, and obviously there was always the exceptions on the other side with the high paid quarterback players or high paid superstars, but generally speaking, the players are going to lose every NFLPA salary type contract type argument, so they're going to lose this one. They just always do. I wish they wouldn't. I'm just saying they always do.
I do wonder if this even would have to go to the CBA. I do wonder if they could just institute this as kind of just like a rule.
Would have to, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. All right, some other overreactions to the reality, maybe ones that are not as deep as the great Nick Wright gave us one. All right, how about this? Like, the Giants looked piss poor in week one. Overreaction to reality, the Giants won't win more than four games.
Oh, that's not an overreaction. I think they've already spiraled. You know, people will say, "Oh, they look like they're spiraling off the railroad tracks." I think they've already spiraled off. I mean, that scene at that game and post game, people waiting more than an hour just so they could boo Daniel Jones. And then you have already a splintered sort of organization in terms of what they should do. And Saquon's gone, and Giants fans are desperate, and he stinks. I can't see them winning more than four games. That might be about where they end up at four wins, if they're lucky.
So you think that's reality?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels very real. They don't have another quarterback to go to. That's the thing. Like, yeah. They don't have another place to go outside of Daniel Jones. And we've seen for a long time, even before they gave him $40 million a year over a 4-year span, that he was not going to be a good quarterback. And he seems to have regressed in the course of that. All right. How about this as another overreaction or reality? Speaking of a quarterback having someone else behind them. Overreaction or reality? Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix will start over Kirk Cousins at some point during the season.
Reality. I mean, absolute reality. And I know that it's based from the outside looking in on basically the preseason, which you shouldn't put too much in. But Kirk Cousins, talk about Aaron Rodgers not moving well. He didn't move well either. Kirk Cousins didn't look, and he's never been that fleet of foot anyway. He's been okay. I think that's and it's also human nature. Hey, look at that first round quarterback sitting on the bench. And, you know, they always talk about it. Most popular player on the team is the backup quarterback. Well, even more so when, what was he taking, 15 overall? Somewhere in there, 9, I don't know.
I think he was like,
he was like 8.
But either way.
He was the third quarterback taken off the
That's board. Right, that's right. First round quarterback on the bench, reality. He will start.
I think that's still an overreaction.
Really?
Like, I think Kirk didn't play well in week one. However, they went and paid a whole bunch of money to Kirk Cousins, and it seems like there was an understanding that, hey, man, Michael Penix is probably going to sit here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they're going to be committed to Kirk Cousins being the guy that, you know, tries to get them into the playoffs or win the division again, or win the division as they should have last year,
yeah,
win it this year and give them opportunity. Beyond that, I think that once you have him sit for a while, for a season, mm-hmm, then I think they're going to have some interesting conversations to have there. But for the time being, I do believe that that's how that goes. Some more overreaction reality in that same division. Overreaction reality, the Bucks are still the best team in the NFC South.
Whew. Keep an eye on the Bucks.
I told you.
You picked them to win the division?
I think so, yeah.
I did not, but I like what I saw, obviously, and I said it before the season, I think they're going to have a little something. They might have a lot of something.
They just look polished, man. They made the playoffs last season. They just kind of look more polished. I know that division ain't the best division.
Yeah. But no, it's not.
Yeah, so that's not saying much. But in that division, they just look the most polished, man. They
yeah.
The
so best no love for the Saints putting a hurt on somebody?
No, Derek Carr will fade after about 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, and plus, that was the Panthers, man. Yeah. The Panthers just look like a mess.
Yeah.
I don't trust Derek Carr like that.
Yeah. Right. And Atlanta, you know, as well. We're just talking about them.
I'm still falling for the Atlanta pump fake. I'm still sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm still on it.
They got all of them.
I picked Atlanta.
But they're actually using the talent that they have.
Yeah,
now.
They actually have a lot of offensive weapons, man. Mm-hmm. And they loaded up a little bit on defense.
Yeah,
you would think they would be the team.
That was my pick, but you know, who knows what happens at the quarterback position. And it could be just an overreaction from 1 week, but yeah, still.
I think we know what, yeah. I mean, we know that Kirk is better than that. Like, yeah. I don't know that Kirk is going to be an incredible quarterback, but again, not a great division, a lot of talent, well-built team. They add Matthew Judon to add some more defensive firepower. I think this is overreaction. I don't think the Bucks are the best team in the NFC South. How about this? This is a dude who played very well, started answering some questions that we had about his team and some talent loss. Overreaction or reality, Josh Allen is the NFL's MVP.
Oh, that's an overreaction. Not that I don't know.
If I talked about any MVP, would it be an overreaction after week one? Is that probably the way you're going here?
Yeah, probably. Whether it's CJ Stroud or Patrick Mahomes even. I mean, it'd be a safer bet with Patrick Mahomes, but not necessarily it would be an overreaction. I think Josh Allen, like, if, and I'm not just basing it on how he played, but based on how much I think he's going to have to carry. He's going to have to put up big numbers. If he stays healthy, you know, he's going to have to be, you know, the guy, so to speak, for that team. So he actually would be one of the leaders just because of that.
All right, let's get into this one here, because this has to do with the Texans' opponent for this Sunday Night Football, 7:20 at NRG Stadium. Caleb Williams isn't as pro ready as we thought. Overreaction or reality?
All right, so I'm glad you brought this up, because I had a confession that I was like, nah, that's a little bit too soon to be thinking that. But it's just kind of a vibe. I mentioned it earlier with Carmen, Carmen Vitale, who joined us at 10:20. Like, I've seen a quarterback. We've lived a quarterback, number one overall, that didn't have offensive line protection and became a shell of himself very quickly. I'm not saying Caleb Williams is going to be David Carr by any stretch. I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams' game. I'm just saying I could see him getting beat up. Like, as mobile as he is and all that stuff,
yeah,
I could see him getting beat up, maybe starting Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough thing for him, but mm-hmm. I do think it's an overreaction. Like, I tried to watch, thanks to Seth Payne, I actually could go and, like, get into the all 22, but have it really specified, and I tried to watch a whole bunch of his throws yesterday during the course of the Astros game and debate, and, man, the way that the ball jumps out of his hand, it's still there, and you can see that there's some things that need to be cleaned up. But he looks like he's looks like he can do some things. Obviously, the protection, if the protection is there, that's a big if for that team as of right now. But, oh, apparently the 832 does not believe that he is as pro-ready as we have believed. All right.
Nice. Some are out there.
And ultimately, we'll get another. I look at that again, Sunday night football, NRG Stadium. And you can hear that right here where you hear all Texans football games, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time to get a little Figgy's mixtape. Fig, what you got for us?
Man, it was a debate last night. I don't know if you guys watch it. It had the internet going nuts. We are going to debate about the top five worst chores in honor of Bills receiver Keon Coleman.
Okay.
And what's something people think they want until they actually get it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
713-572-4610.
Yes, and send those in. We'll answer it next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is. Figgy holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. First, I've been playing Frankie Beverly music all day long, man. Rest in peace to a legend, a living legend, I was about to say a living legend.
Yeah, I understand why you said that or where you were going to say, because like you were talking about this.
Yeah,
he was active up until
he was on tour for a while. Year.
Yeah, that's stuff like this, because we always get into an argument about people that pass away at an older age, mm-hmm. where people are like, oh, what did you expect? Or he lived a life. Like, we kind of expected this. No, we didn't, man. He was still on stage.
Yeah,
man. He was still performing his songs, man. So these type of deaths hurt me a little more, because honestly, like, we just lost a legend this week, James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, hate to sound harsh, but he was 93 years old and he was kind of, in the background a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of knew he had some declining health problems.
Yeah.
So this was kind of expected, lack of.
Do we know how he died? I haven't seen that.
Oh, James?
No.
Nah.
Frank Beverly.
Oh no, I didn't.
Well, by the way, Howard Beverly, apparently his birth name. Which,
okay,
if that ain't a real black thing, is finding out the real name. Yeah. The person unpassed.
Like, oh, Frankie ain't his real name.
Yeah.
But rest in peace to Frankie Beverly, man.
Absolutely.
Just a legend.
Saw him in concert,
go ahead, brag. Do it. Do
Maze. I always knew him as just Maze. I mean, I obviously knew it became Frankie Beverly and Maze. I think it was like late 70s, early 80s. I was in high school, maybe, with the Isley Brothers. That's a show, baby.
Yeah, no, that's a hell of a lineup.
That's a show there.
I always think about that time. I think somebody posted this this like card lineup of the rodeo, the mm-hmm. Houston Lifestyle Rodeo.
Yeah.
It was I want to say it was back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Might 60s or 70s.
Wow.
But the lineup had like the Jackson 5. They had the Beatles. They had like just some random, man. Like, I'm like, damn, this is a nice little lineup, man.
I have an old concert photo in our bathroom at home, in one of the bathrooms at home, that is a ticket for like, it's like Fleetwood Mac and like somebody else huge. I'm trying to blank. It's like Fleetwood Mac and from 1977 or something. And like, might have been the Rolling Stones. I mean, it was like, dude, they did that back then.
Yeah. Like, I wonder from maybe 20 years from now, we going to look at these Houston Lifestyle Rodeo lineups like, oh, that was a lineup right there.
Yeah.
Because people, all they do is complain about the lineups now. Like, oh, this lineup suck.
Yeah.
But 20 years from now, it'd be interested to see what that lineup look like.
That's how time goes, man. We get nostalgic, even about stuff that we were mad about in the past.
Yeah.
And it's happened with people that we view as like great people. Like you go back and you mentioned Muhammad Ali, one of your favorites, and there was a time period where he was, you know, persona non grata, right? Like Martin Luther King Jr., right? I don't know how many other people you can point to that have become such like widely beloved that in their time, absolutely quite divisive in a way. So yeah, man. Yeah. A lineup at the rodeo, Rodeo Houston is not outside of the bounds that I imagine will come back around. Man, I was there. I saw all these great people when it was like, you hated that. Come on.
So I don't know if you guys heard, but it was a presidential debate last night.
There was?
Yeah, man. I couldn't believe it, man. I was just,
how did it go?
Hey, I was just so focused on the Astros game, man. You know, I'm a diehard Astros guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching anything other than the Astros. And then
that was last night, huh?
That was last night.
I'll be dog.
So I was while I was watching the Astros game, I was looking on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it felt like I was the only one watching, to be honest. But I was watching it, and all of a sudden, I kept seeing people talk about eating pets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I'm like,
eating,
you know,
pets.
Eating pets. Mm-hmm. I seen somebody say eating dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
hot dogs?
I don't know. So I decided to search on Twitter to see what was going on. And this popped up.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. The people that came in, they're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
I'm like, what in the world is going on, man? I'm like, I did not expect to hear that from the debate.
Yeah.
I thought this was some type of viral video going on, like somebody
it was.
I thought it was somebody.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Hey, I thought it was somebody on TikTok, because you see a lot of crazy stuff.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be somebody from overseas or something, over in China or something.
Oh, you mean you just saw that it was trending?
Yeah.
He had no idea.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah, picked up context. Yeah,
I could see that for sure.
I had no idea, but.
Yeah.
It kind of got me thinking, man, I kind of want to do a little debate on the show a little bit.
Okay.
So I ran not that type of debate.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. What are we doing here?
So Keon Coleman, rookie for the Buffalo Bills, wide receiver. Pretty cool dude to talk to, man.
Seems like it.
He got a real thick Louisiana accent. Mm-hmm. And he's very vocal. So I think the team put out this, the Buffalo Bills team actually put this out. He was sitting with some teammates, and they started debating on the top five worst chores to do.
Oh, okay.
And his number one is dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And
this,
this is how it sounded.
The one is dishes.
One.
Okay,
nah.
Why?
I hate doing
dishes.
This
wouldn't be too bad.
This is
like, who the hell grew up with a dishwasher? The project, you can't get no damn dishwasher.
I say five.
What?
Dishes?
What's worse than
talking about pots? We talking about dishes? We talking about the ones you got to clean by hand?
Like y'all eat spaghetti?
You got to clean by hand. That's different.
Yeah. Oh, okay, listen, okay. We talking like we? I didn't grow up in Cali. We ain't got no damn dishes.
Are we talking about copper? Or we talking about what type of pots?
Man, we talking about.
I got to bring out barkeepers. Nah. Scrub it. Then that's different than if
we talking about forks. We talking about plates. We talking about cups, bowls.
Put that three. Put that three.
What? I think about what could be worse than
trust.
What's
trust?
All right.
Oh, you ever scrubbed a baseball?
Hey, so they ended up putting in that number three. I want us as a team to kind of power rank the worst chores to do.
Well, yeah, no, dishes is not going to hit that hard. And maybe I've just been like strong-armed into this place where I had to. Like, I did not enjoy washing dishes when I was young. I'm not going to pretend like I did. However, dishes ain't that bad, man, especially like as an adult. Hey, put some earbuds in, listen to some music, you know, listen to a podcast, something. It'll get done. Especially, and I guess like the frequency ends up being the issue there. The real problem for me, like, hey, man, let's clean in that bathroom, scrubbing toilets and like not toilets, really scrubbing bathtubs, bro. Cleaning the bathtub.
Oh, that's the worst. That got to be number one.
I hate that.
And somebody said that at the end of this clip. They said, have you ever scrubbed the baseboard?
Oh, yeah.
That's hard, man.
But that's like once every few months.
Yeah, frequency ends up being But like
actual chores, I don't consider that a chore. That's just the, something you do, you know, to like the chores. And I might have mentioned this to you before, Figgy. For some reason, I guess it's just because I'm so anal about it or OCD or whatever you want to call it. I love folding clothes. Like the lines have to be perfect. I get the towels have to be just like not one sliver of thread or anything loose. I love folding clothes. I hate washing clothes.
That's so, the easy part. You ain't got a washboard.
I do the dishes, but it's not like folding clothes. Of actual chores that I just like making the bed.
Yeah.
You know, because of the we've got. Okay, well, here you go. I know what's coming.
Uh-oh.
We got a king size.
Whoa!
So it's really hard to get
it's the extra deep one, too. They got the pillow top. Yeah. No, I mean,
it is Tempur-Pedic. Anyway.
You know, be careful. I heard that you might mess up your elbow.
Or you get it from Mattress Matt.
It does elevate. I'm just saying, you know. Okay. But anyway, putting a fitted sheet on a king size bed is awful. Awful. And, you know, we change the sheets at least once a week. And so I hate doing the sheets on the bed. And the pillowcases, ugh.
Yeah, I'm with some folks that are bringing up laundry ends up being a little bit of an issue. But it's more of the folding and putting things away. Because it's so easy to
I know
end
that's
up,
weird. I love folding clothes.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Come on over to my house, man.
Yeah, I was like, we can put you to work if that's the case.
Nah, I hate folding clothes. One thing I don't like to do, really, I hate mopping. I don't really like to mop, man.
Because if you're mopping, you're also sweeping, right?
Yeah.
You got to sweep real good. Otherwise, you just got dirty mop water for no reason.
And then you got to slip some slides on or something like that. Because you don't want to be walking around barefoot or nothing like that with socks.
Yeah.
Nah, that's the worst. I hate
What
I
else
hate
do they mop. Have on this list?
Yeah, what are the other... did they put some other things in here that they...
I don't think... They saying stuff like scrubbing the baseboard and pots and stuff like that, which I agree with. I don't really like washing pots.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you got to kind of do it as you go. Like, you got to get it while that, before that stuff all sticks on and stuff, you got to get that done and out of there. Some other folks on the text line brought some things. A lot of folding cold clothes coming in. 346 said mentioned feeding the animals. And I do wonder how many animals you got, right? Like, if you got a dog and a cat, like, that shouldn't be that tough. But if you're, like, on a farm or whatever.
Yeah,
that's a different level. Like, you up early, you're out and about. Yeah, I think that there's something to be said there.
Yeah.
So it was another debate on the timeline going on.
And on Twitter? Surprising.
And this one kind of shocked me a little bit. So somebody tweeted a good looking picture of a meal and they said, is steak Alfredo a thing?
Steak Alfredo? Oh, because like there's chicken Alfredo.
Chicken Alfredo. You got shrimp Alfredo. And then.
Not for me. It's not.
Really?
No.
I don't think I've ever had. But I don't see why.
Vegetable Alfredo and chicken Alfredo. Shrimp, maybe. But not steak.
I've never had it. I'll try it.
Yeah, it's a picture that's on Twitter right now. It looks really good, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, I kind of want to try it.
Yeah, easy. Absolutely.
Not me.
What?
No.
Why?
I guess I'm just conditioned. Chicken Alfredo, shrimp Alfredo, or vegetable. That's it. That's the list. I might like it, but I just it doesn't tempt me.
Yeah, we should have known. He's a little finicky with his food. He won't eat at the strip club, apparently.
So. Yeah. Sauce don't go on the steak.
I thought you said food.
Oh, good.
Yeah, go ahead and hit the sounder, because I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
All right, I'm going to get y'all out of here on this. What's something people think they want?
Oh, yeah, this is the one.
Until they actually get it.
I've been waiting for this
I got a couple things people mention. Pets.
Yeah.
So a lot of
great
people,
answer.
They want pets. And
great
then,
answer.
Thank you.
Especially dogs.
Thank you.
And that's all about children,
make sure
it?
You want it. That's my public service.
Yeah.
Try it out. Be a pet sitter first and then get your pet.
Yeah, because a lot of people, and this is the big mistake too, a lot of people rather not adopt and they rather just get like a newborn dog or a pet and then they realize they don't want it. So they give it away, they put it up for adoption or whatever. Yeah. Where it's not a good look, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like, as you mentioned, like puppies and, you know, real young animals. It's like, hey, yeah, not trained yet.
Yeah,
you
know, no,
you need to train them.
It just drives me nuts. I hate it.
I'm trying to find the text because you had teased it. And during that break, a text came in very quickly. It's like, oh, people think they want a divorce before they get one. And yeah, man, I always default to that. There was like kind of a funny thread that was put up on Twitter at one point where it was a reverend saying, hey, no, stay with the wife of your youth. talking about Del Curry when him and Sonya Curry. It's like, yeah, man, just, look, you don't want to be out in these streets, man. What you know is probably a lot better than what's out here.
Yeah, so I got a couple more. A high-paying, stressful job.
Ooh.
Some people think they want that until they actually get it.
Well, they like the high-paying. They don't expect the stressful, but they tend to go together.
But here's the issue
with
that.
Some people see a high, stressful job that pays a lot, and they be like, oh, I do it for the money.
Yeah,
but sometimes you can't do it for the money. No.
That's fair, but sometimes we might be infantilizing some of these folks, because some of these folks already have stressful jobs without the money. So it's like, might as well have one that actually pays well. So I understand where people are going there.
Yeah, that's true. What about this one? Wild sex daily from a psycho girlfriend.
Oh, no, yeah. No, that's
are you single? Are we pretending we're single?
Well,
I mean, that's something people think they want until they actually get it.
There's a lot of upkeep there.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of upkeep there.
Yes. Yes.
Yes to which part?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We will not. Yes.
There is a right answer here, and it's not me. You know how I am. A boat.
Mine is somewhat along those lines, I imagine, for similar reasons. Pool.
A pool is
people
tough.
Think they want a pool, but what you really want is a friend who has pool. You want access to a
pool. Same with a boat. You want a friend who has it. Now, mine is, I love my boat. I take it out every week, so it works properly. It's always upkept and all that. But a lot of people buy a boat, and they use it like two or three times a year, and it breaks down every time, and it's
maintenance
expensive.
And all this.
They always say, boat stands for break out another thousand, Nice. Because that's what it costs. But boat is for me the
What
end.
About this one? This was probably the best one on this list, a treadmill.
Yeah, treadmill's just, it's just going
weight bench. Remember when you're in high school or college?
Yeah, 100%.
Mom, I want a weight bench for college. Yeah. We'll put it in the garage. Oh, Lord, that never works out.
Oh, there's some people texting in from clear, what seems very evidently to be experience from the 346. Sorry, Fig. House. A lot of upkeep.
Hey.
Especially if you're used to renting now. You got cutting the grass and all this.
That's a labor of love.
But see, my thing is, like, if you know me personally, I never wanted to buy a house, man. I love the apartment living, especially a luxury apartment. I was fine with that. She wanted the house the most.
Don't say that too loud.
So, yeah, she ain't listening. But as soon as something go wrong, as soon as the water tank go out and get that price, I'm going to point to her.
Yeah.
Like, yep,
there's so many things that can go
wrong.
Dude,
you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Don't let it discourage you.
If you say so. From the 281, again, another experience. The answer is owning a restaurant. Do not do it. All right. Appreciate you, Mike. Inside fair. Yeah, okay. I will not own a restaurant because that does sound like that is quite cumbersome.
Yeah. The last one I'm going to say on here, this is not me. This is just on the list, but a mother-in-law.
Wow.
It's hit and miss. Yeah. Okay. It's hit and miss. Yeah, I mean, it's a luck of the draw, I should say.
All right.
I can't relate to that.
Yeah, mine was great. Mine was, God rest her soul. She loved me more than she loved her daughter. She did. She did. And my wife would tell you that. Like, if my wife, she's always used to say before she passed, like, my mom loves you more. I was like, I know.
Figgy's mixtape. That's how we do it. Every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here in Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, real quick, before we bring in the drive, turn it over to them, an accounting of the best rookies. Where do your Texans rookies fall? Do they join or are they on the list? We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Anatula.
Thank you, Figgy. Indeed, appreciate you keeping us feeling good on a Wednesday with a little bit of Frankie Beverly. Rest in peace to the man, as we learned that he passed at 77 today. Also, thank you to Lopez hanging out all day.
And what do I do?
Do your job. You did it pretty well today. Also, we want to thank, obviously, Baseball Spo, Adam Spillane joining us 1040, and Carmen Vitale, NFC North reporter for Fox Sports. For joining us at 1020. If you want to hear any of those interviews or discussions, you can use the Odyssey app. There's a rewind feature in there. Also, you can check out our YouTube page. Our guy Beast Guy does a fantastic job making sure that we've got all sorts of content from the shows all over Sports Radio 610 up there. So definitely tap in there. All right, we're getting ready to hand it over to The Drive, Clint and Ron. Putting the show together. In fact, I think they're done. I saw Clint was watching more film.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's fascinating.
He's got to make sure that he's got all of the details. And that's
all
exactly
22
what he's
working,
give
man. Putting it on reverse. Put it on play. Put it on reverse.
Yeah, man.
We're going to talk about that pig skin.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
I know you're watching the same film I watch. Come on now.
That's right. All right. So I did want to talk about this, though, and I'm sure that these gentlemen will come up on film as the rookies for your Texans, right? CBS Sports put together a little rookie report for week one, when it comes to the rookie rankings, and I'm interested. I think it ends up being top 10 rookies in week one.
Mm-hmm.
How many, if any at all, of the Texans rookies do you think make this list?
Well, I think for sure Kalen Bullitt makes it just because he had the number. You know, he had an interception. Yeah, I think that probably is going to wedge him in there somewhere. Don't know about Lassiter. I'll say one.
Okay. It is indeed one. You got the wrong one, though.
Really? They had Lassiter?
Yeah, Kamari Lassiter, actually.
That's kind of encouraging, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. That was exactly how I felt, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
The write-up reads as follows. Lassiter got a little loose in coverage, which...
We saw that.
You're right. I know that they were
wrong.
They definitely watched the game. All right. Lassiter got a little loose in coverage, but he broke hard on the football and played the ball well upon arrival. 3 of 4 passes in his direction fell incomplete, and the lone completion went for 8 yards, according to True Media. Lassiter showed a good sense of awareness and played with high energy. And honestly, that feels like a description of the Kamari Lassiter that we saw all preseason, all camp, which, as you mentioned... It really did feel comforting, an outside perspective that's not like honed in, because sometimes it's nice to be like, yo, we watch this team, you guys are parachuting in, but sometimes that 30,000 foot perspective can help show if, hey, are we too close to this,
right?
And it's nice to know that they looked at Kamara and they're like, no, that was pretty damn good from him.
No, I was just expecting Kalen Bullitt, because hey, a rookie got an interception, we've got to put him on the top 10 list. And I'm not saying he played poorly, but I will say on Kamari Lassiter, and you can always, you know, take these with a grain, take this with a grain of salt, but he did have a very high PFF grade.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday. Kamari Lassiter did. So they're not alone. Like he did his job. The things that, you know, that I kept harping on from really not much after training camp started, like, the old, you know, the bell is out of reach, but the old cliche, you know, ball skills, like he has that, and that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Not just ball skills themselves, but also just like, it seems like he plays above his age, right? Like he plays in such a way where the mental aspect of it, he's making good decisions. Mm-hmm. Even if in a moment he makes one slip up, the next decision is not a bad one because of that prior one. He came in sixth on this top 10. And as you mentioned, I think some of this is also, he played all those snaps, right? He played 100% of the defensive snaps. Kalen Bullitt played, what was that?
25,
which amounted to 56% of the snaps. I do wonder how that pops up. However, you mentioned Pro Football Focus, and what they do, I think, is very useful because they're also doing what our guy Clint Sterner is doing right now. They're watching the film and they're basing grades off of that. Now, it is subjective, so we keep that and we use it with a grain of salt because it's not as objective to be able to go around and use that across the board. But they have that perspective. Pro Football Focus also had Kalen Bullitt as the highest graded week one rookie. So that's another way in which maybe he didn't show up on a top 10 list from CBS Sports, but Pro Football Focus, who was looking at the tape, they rank Kalen Bullitt highly.
I'm telling you, man, you know, what's interesting about these two rookies is that was week one of their rookie year, man. Like
week one with a very particular and against challenge.
Yes, exactly. Against a guy that could just, you know, throw bombs like nuts, you know, and who knows, you know, just test you. Test you in ways that you're not always going to be tested.
For the safety, over top coverage, that's Kalen Bullitt. Mm-hmm. And for the cornerback, speedy wide receivers. Yeah. Like these are things that were particular, that test them particularly in their spots. And they both handled it incredibly well, with the caveat for the rookie. But I think even if you take the caveat off, they handled it pretty damn well in and of itself. And I think I did want to ask you, like, where does that then put you on the way that you feel about the rookies being involved in this defense and maybe even having bigger roles? I don't know that Kamari can have a bigger role, but Kalen can.
No, I think Kamari can have a bigger role in the sense of making plays like, you know, interceptions and big pass breakups and having those opportunities because the ball's going to go his way more often. So not in terms of snaps, but like that. Kalen Bullitt might just mess around and be the biggest surprise on this team. Because we have to go back, like, even when they drafted him, Figgy, you remember this, we're like, all right, you know, USC was not exactly a good defense, but he was athletic and he did some things. Maybe there's something there that they can build on. Hell, he's out there in week one and making plays and getting the high grade, as we talked about. like we might be, you know, we're talking about Blake Fisher. Oh, he might have an opportunity to be a starting tackle because who knows with Titus Howard and injuries and all that stuff. We talk about Kamari Lassiter, you know, and how he's, you know, immediately had an impact on this defense. Kalen Bullock might mess around and just be like, you know, that's a position where you can make a lot of game-changing type plays, if, you know, if you're good at it.
Yeah, and so I'm excited. I think that the idea of maybe Kalen Bullock getting more snaps, mm-hmm. and I mean, we mentioned that yesterday, the idea that D'Amico talked about the possibility of that being the case. That sounds so much more appealing when you take that. Week one, again, I'll use that caveat one more again, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of it's 1 week. We can't overreact to it, but I'm thoroughly impressed.
The hell
by
the we
Brooks.
Can't.
Well,
the hell we can't.
I'm not saying we haven't.
Or we probably shouldn't, and yet here we are. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the rookies on his team, Kamari and Kalen, both getting some plaudits from CBS Sports Pro Football Focus. How impressed were you with just how good they were in that secondary?
Yeah, look, I think Kalen Bullock, which I said from the beginning of camp, the first time you see him, he's just got that flash ability. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know who the better player is going to end up being, but he's got the ability to go out there and make wow plays. Whereas we've heard it a million times from D'Amico, with Kamari, it's going to be just steady Eddie.
Yeah.
Just I mean, a top-of-the-line number two corner that doesn't make mistakes, that's physical and tackles well, that you know, with the exception of a double move, mm-hmm. you know, he was never a problem.
Yeah.
And in D'Amico's defense, they're going to – D'Amico, the one thing about D'Amico's superpower, he's got several of them, but one of them defensively is it's coach speak to say we're going to play to our players' strengths. You know, it's our job to play to their strengths and not play to their weaknesses. He actually does. He's one of the best I've ever seen at it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't mean to beat the dead horse, but Tavier Thomas last year, the way he made that last 8-9 games mm-hmm. was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then it all of a sudden came up and everybody realized it, right? But just his ability to do more with less, that's disrespectful.
Or just do more with what you got.
I mean, it's just, man.
Yeah, maximize what they got. Yeah, for sure.
And I think when you look at Kamari Lassiter, he's going to be a guy, very rarely is he going to not have help. Very rarely is he going to be pressed with no help. You know, very rarely are you going to put him. Now, if he does get beat deep or if a double move does happen, mm-hmm. it's going to be because your pressure didn't get there. Mm, so ultimately, you're going to be able to say, yeah, Kamari should have done a little bit better. But also, we paid 55 a bunch of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, guess what? Mario Edwards was really good in the preseason. I mean, so these guys got to get home. We're bringing more people than they can block. Somebody's got to get home. So it's not all on Kamari Lassiter. So both of those guys are really, really good rookies to date. And when you look at it, I think one's got flash ability. One is just that under-the-radar steady.
Yeah, we were talking right before you guys came in here. I was thinking Kalen Bullock might mess around and just be the biggest impact in terms of splash plays because of the position he plays. And he's already 56% of the snaps in his first ever game. And looked pretty dang good.
Yeah, in 20, at the end of the day, it was you know, Alec Pierce jumped over him twice and caught balls. And so there's enough reason to get Kalen Bullock on the field. And then when you get him there, he's just got that knack, man. Mm-hmm. He's long. I mean, he covers a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Think about in coverage, man. We hadn't seen it yet, but his ability to go up over tight ends and go up over the top of wide receivers in the red zone and stuff like that. He should have had two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had one, should have had two.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing for Jimmy Ward the way that some of the big plays occurred.
Yeah.
You look at it and you think, with 21 skill set and his size, like I don't know if those plays get completed.
You do have to.
Like with the size of, like, as Clint said, Alex Pierce jumped over him or ran past him. And you think, like, kind of jump ball stuff, Kalen Bullock and his size.
Yeah.
Like that was the bad look for
I mentioned
Jimmy
to Reggie
Ward.
Earlier, sometimes, you know, in some cases, you don't just put the best player that can help you in the here and now. You do have to kind of bet on that potential, bet on that upside, you know?
He's about to take somebody's gig.
Yeah.
But,
hey, can I
at least snap?
Yeah.
But before we get out of here, I got some bones to pick, boys.
Uh-oh, what I do?
I love when you do this,
Figgy. Well, he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, Figgy, Figgy, the move.
Well, wild sex with that crazy ex girlfriend on a daily basis. Let me tell you what, that's a good idea for about 3 minutes. Really good idea for about 3 minutes,
or two and a half.
Yeah, well, I was being generous.
Whatever's necessary.
I was being generous to myself. Ron, you keep your mouth closed because I've heard some stories. food at the shake joint.
Yeah. Yes.
J-Lo, you just nope. you added yourself. You just don't go enough or didn't go enough.
I haven't been.
Anybody that frequents it.
Nope.
Which the lodge.
Yeah, wings, man.
You know how they bred those wings?
The lodge in Dallas.
Yeah, they taste good.
The
yeah,
lodge in Dallas, dude. Texas. The
strawberry steak, perfume.
Steak night, lobster night.
They got your face on the wall?
Oh, no. They don't got to have money. The guys I was going with, their faces on that wall.
Yeah, I bet they were.
I ain't going to say nothing, Galloway.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say nothing. What's big
deal? Wow.
What's big deal?
He would tell you.
JD, he don't give a rip.
Yeah, he would tell you.
The other one, Big Gibson. Gosh dang.
Yeah.
Gibson, the biggest head on a football player ever seen. Wisconsin offensive line.
I'm not helping you.
Wisconsin
out
offensive. Aaron Gibson. There
I'm
you
not
go.
Helping, man. You hey, just put
AG used to go in there with his wife. I'd show up in the lodge, and AG, he's literally one of the biggest humans I've ever seen.
Yeah.
His wife was a volleyball player at Wisconsin. She is a good looking but a larger woman.
Yeah.
Hey, they'd be posted up in there eating steak night at the lodge.
See?
And y'all are all
they
lying.
Know ball, y'all are Lopez. All lying. They know ball.
And my weights are in my garage right now. Yeah. I was on this morning, J-Lo.
And some folks that know ball is the drive, so ready to hand it over to Ron, to Clint, T-Mill. You're listening to KILT, KILT, HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. Ladies and gentlemen, the drive is live.
The drive is live.